Good morning. Welcome to Lincoln County Connections. Thanks for joining us today. Amy Snyder, Health Promotions Program Manager, is here with us. She's become a frequent flyer to County Connections. Good morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, well, I am doing good, and I'm glad to have you here because this changes a lot and changes quickly, and we're talking about vaccinations and COVID. You know, Amy, maybe you could make a comment about that. It wasn't, you know, maybe a month ago or a month and a half ago when our clinics were full and folks were frustrated. I want to get in and get a shot. And now essentially we are coming to you.
Yes.
So any thoughts general about, you know, public health, this discipline you're in, and change? And yeah. To expect change.
Yeah, public health has always been ready for change because we have to. We accommodate mm-hmm. the needs of the community. And so we do pivot pretty quickly, but we have learned to pivot much faster now in COVID. Things have dramatically shifted just in the course of a week. Every time we had a plan, the governor announced something that made it different, which was always great because it was removing barriers to people. Mm. But it made it hard for us to keep up. But we have caught up and we are pivoting to adjust to the new demands of COVID-19 and vaccination. And we're finding that it's time for us to be taking the vaccine out to people, to find people where they are, where they're already working, where they're living, where they're learning, where they're receiving services, shopping, all of those locations where they already are. Making vaccination the easy and convenient choice for them.
Yeah, Amy, could you talk a little bit about, you know, how things haven't changed? I mean, there are variants, we know that, but getting vaccinated has remained a consistent protocol through this all. So are there any misconceptions you've noticed about folks when they hear about variants and maybe they're having some hesitancy that this is still the right thing to do?
Yes, it is definitely still the right thing to do. Vaccination was our number one greatest achievement of the 21st century, and it still is. We know that vaccination is going to be the most reliable way to prevent COVID-19. It's the safest way to build immunity. Basically, if we don't have that immunity against COVID-19, we're very vulnerable to infection, and it makes our whole community vulnerable. Because every single infection, even if it's mild, it allows new variants to emerge. Every new generation, every time a virus replicates, there's mutations in these type of viruses. So we're really allowing ourselves to be open to new variants, more severe disease. And as COVID-19 progresses, there's selection pressure that's going to make it more severe or make it more transmissible. And we're seeing that happening with these new variants of concern. Yeah. And one variant of concern particularly has come into our region and is in our county and is starting to become more and more prevalent pretty quickly.
Yeah. But getting the vaccination will still offer that protection.
Yes. Yeah. The vaccination will still offer protection. It will still make the disease more mild. Which is really what we're aiming for. Yeah. It allows us to have more defenses so we can prevent that virus from really taking over more and more of our cells and creating a higher viral load that would keep you from being able to transmit it to others.
Well, thank you for this. And maybe one more myth buster, which is, you know, there was a pause on Johnson & Johnson, but can you talk about the scale? I mean, there were just a small number of cases, really.
Yes.
Nevertheless, there is this high safety protocol.
Yes.
Yeah, talk
there's,
about that.
There's two layers of vaccine monitoring in the United States. There's the one that we've always had, the vaccine monitoring system. And then we have VSafe, which is a new app that started with COVID-19. You get text messages after you get your vaccine if you sign up for it, and it checks on your symptoms. So with those two monitoring systems, the federal government, the FDA, and the CDC detected a possible severe side effect of Johnson & Johnson, and they put Johnson & Johnson on pause for 11 days while they investigated it. After investigating, they found that that possible side effect is still extremely rare, and the risk of COVID-19 is still far, 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 far higher than that risk of severe blood clots, which was found in, I believe it was 2 out of every 1,000,000 people. So it's a very low risk. It's a severe issue, but it's happening to very, very few people. And it's in a specific demographic, women under 50. So really, individuals that are concerned about that, they can consult with their doctor if they're women under 50 and discuss what the best vaccine is for them and make that choice. The two other vaccines that we have, the mRNA vaccines, they aren't associated with that severe blood clot. So if somebody has a history of blood clots or is at risk, they could choose one of the mRNA ones. But for everyone else, there really is a very, very low risk for that. It's about equal, less than what the anaphylactic risk is for severe allergic reactions. So,
yeah. Well, thank you for that. Well, this is Amy Snyder. She is our health promotions program manager, Lincoln County Health and Human Services. We're going to take our first break, come back, talk to Amy about some of these vaccine opportunities that are coming to you. So stay with us. Back on Connections, Amy Snyder is with us today. Vaccines are coming to you. But before we talk about some of these opportunities, please be reminded, go into the county website. It's right there under what's new. I mean, the information is on our website. But Amy, also about getvaccinated.org is another kind of portal, right?
Yeah, Get Vaccinated Oregon is another place where you can find vaccination opportunities. You sign up, say where you live, and then it will send you notifications of vaccine opportunities that are near you.
Okay. So if folks want to head to Yahats, for example, tomorrow, talk about that. Tell us about this is, you know, maybe the second where you have kind of brought this to the community. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Yeah, so my role with our vaccination team is leading our outreach efforts. And so part of outreach is to bring the vaccines out to people to reduce their barriers to the vaccine. So this is part of our transition. We are closing down some of our mass vaccination sites that have not been utilized as much in the last week. And we are going to be mobilizing our vaccinators to go out to people. So one of those is going to be Yahats tomorrow at the Yahats Common. We're partnering with City of Yahats to provide 90 Pfizer vaccines, which are open to people 16 and older, still a free clinic. And we're, you know, advertising it down there. Anybody can come to it. We are definitely trying to reach those in Yahats who have had less opportunity for vaccines to make it convenient for them. Then we also have a Port of Toledo event coming up on May 5th. And that one's going to be towards the afternoon, 2 to 6 p.m., partnering with the Port of Toledo on that. And that'll be Moderna, which will be open to 18 and older. And then we are working on doing one in Depot Bay per the request of their mayor. So right now we're aiming to get out to the cities that have had less vaccines administered through their locations to make sure that those individuals, those residents are able to have a more equitable access to the vaccine.
So, Amy, if there is an organization, you know, an employer or, you know, community group, they now can fill out a request. And I think that's pretty obvious on the county's website, too. But are there some criteria that you have for this?
Pretty much any group of people could request a vaccinator and vaccines to come to them. We do have to prioritize based on the resources we have, how efficiently we can put that event together. But any city, agency, employer, business owner, retailers, community-based organization, even informal community groups like a faith group or a community group, a neighborhood group, they could all request a vaccinator to come to them. They just need to know how many people we would serve through that location, and they would need to help us by having a site that we could use and having the ability to authorize us to set up there, or, you know, having the connections that would allow us to be able to get the permissions to bring our mobile clinic to that location. Generally, we ask that they help us with promoting the event so that, you know, those that they are already connected to get signed up for it, and then just helping us identify how many total vaccines we'll need for that location.
So in theory, for example, a church in South Beach could request that somebody come on Sunday and take a portion of that morning to do vaccinations.
Yes. Yeah.
Wonderful.
And we do have some of that happening right now, and with partnership with some of our community-based organizations. Mm-hmm. For example, Olala Center has been organizing clinics at some of the church facilities, particularly the First Baptist Church in Newport, and they've been having vaccinators come out with them to do those events.
So this movement towards coming out to the community, Any other variations we might expect with other partners? You know, Samaritan's already been doing clinics. What are some of the innovations you see in this?
We are at a point where we can have many different kinds of models of how we do this. We have a partnership with Samaritan Mobile Clinic to bring their mobile SAM van, what we call it, out to the clinic. It's like basically an RV that has two exam rooms. So we can bring that and park it in any parking lot and have a pop-up clinic. Or we can bring the van and also use a room that someone has, and we can expand it and provide vaccines to more people. We did an event at the Yacht Club in Newport at the Yaquina Bay. In just a room there, we served 500 people over 2 days. So there's really a lot of options that we can do, and we've gotten really good at figuring out how to have these flow to where a person can come in and they can get through the whole vaccination process in 30 minutes or less.
Nice. Excellent. Man, it does change quickly, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And this is the direction, though, I think we have wanted it to go, so that this is accessible to everyone so they can get vaccinated and we can move forward. Amy Snyder is with us, and we'll be back for our last segment in just a moment. Thank you. We are back on Connections, Amy Snyder and vaccinations. Amy, what is going on with our younger population? It's, you know, now available 16 and over. What are you observing there?
Yeah, we see that our rate of vaccination is lowest in our younger population. Mm. And we also have our younger population being one of the highest in case counts. Yeah. And so that's a population that we really need to do some work on making sure that we could reach. I think some of that is because the Oregon vaccine sequence required us to start at the older adult population, and that's because of how severe their COVID-19 illnesses were, which was important to address. And so now it's a part of making up for that. You know, we've lost a little bit of motivation that some of us may have had early on when it was new and they really wanted it. And then all of that waiting over those weeks has possibly just made it to where, okay, well, it's not as critical right now. But now we're turning to making sure that we can reach those who are 16 to 24 in areas where they're working. They are particularly at risk for outbreaks. And we are seeing outbreaks happening now. And once they start, they just ripple through work sites and homes and then new work sites, just because of the nature of the type of work that 16 to 24-year-olds do. And so that's something we really want to bring the vaccination to those work sites or to places where youth are learning or places where youth and young people are receiving services or even shopping. So if we could do vaccine clinics in the parking lot of a grocery store, in a parking lot that is near a bunch of different hotels and restaurants, that's what we're looking for. And so if any business owner is in one of those sites where they have access to young people, I really hope that they reach out to me, fill out the online form that we have on our webpage so that we can bring a vaccine clinic to them. We can bring the mobile clinic, park in their parking lot. The impact on them would be minimal, but the benefit for them would be high because every person that we vaccinate is going to be less virus that comes into their retail environment that exposes their workers.
Amy, any sense in the epidemiology why it's migrated towards younger people now?
It was often affecting younger people. I think once it moved out of long-term care facilities and those kind of places where we had our older adult population very vulnerable, we always had it more prevalent in the younger adult population because of the nature of their essential work. Mm. It's part of, you know, it's a work issue in that the younger population couldn't work from home. They were working in grocery stores or restaurants and those kind of places where they were exposed more, whereas the older adult population had more options to be able to stay home if they're retired.
Yeah.
Or if they had other people who could do shopping for them, or they have, you know, more resources to be able to change how their, you know, life was working out for them.
Yeah. Well, a kind of an interesting twist and turn, right? But still, you know, underscores that the virus was always looking for, you know, a host.
Yeah, the virus will always, it's almost like an evil villain of a superhero story. You know, it's always going to look for the vulnerable. It's always going to use us to get to our friends and families.
Yeah.
And we can be our own hero. We can shield ourselves. We can put on armor and we can protect our family and friends. by getting vaccinated, and then also doing those other behaviors that we know are going to prevent the spread: washing hands, keeping social distancing, using respiratory hygiene, which means covering your mouth when you cough. All of those things that we know that work to prevent the spread of a virus is going to be what we need right now, just to keep all the new variants at bay, allow us to get more people vaccinated before we have these new variants that are more transmissible, affecting younger people, that are possibly causing more severe outcomes, which is kind of the natural evolution of a virus.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're hitting on, reasons to keep up our diligence. You know, we've just fatigue, I think, is one of the words that has been used for us kind of letting down our guard. But if we just hang in there, right?
Yes. And we need to remember last year, in June, we had a big outbreak of COVID-19. Yeah. And then it continued to ripple through our county, just one workplace, one house after another. And that has the potential to happen again. We're seeing the case counts rise. It's on a trend that is going in that direction. Yeah. And so we need to prevent history from repeating itself and learn our lesson from last year.
Yeah. Well, you are coming to folks, and you really benefits you and them to take the time to fill out the form. But I think it sounds like it's pretty easy for the employer or the organization, and it's just gives you the information you need to move forward.
It does, yeah.
So look on the county's website, and we've got a section for filling out that form. I think they'll find themselves in a smart sheet, so they'll need a computer for it.
Yes, they will need a computer, though my email address is available online, and they could email me, and I will send them a link.
Gotcha. So if you are having difficulty for any reason with these digital technologies, Amy, we can contact you, and I imagine the call center would get them in contact with you as well.
Yeah, they call the call center would relay that information to me, and if they really don't have internet, I could just call them and get the information that I need.
Well, Amy, appreciate it so much, and maybe you could take us out with a few of your top reasons why we should get vaccinated.
Yeah. I think the biggest benefit for getting vaccinated for people who are needing to be physically at work is because once you're fully vaccinated, which is 2 weeks after you complete your vaccine sequence, so that's 2 weeks after your first dose of Johnson & Johnson or 2 weeks after your second dose of Moderna or Pfizer, you are considered fully vaccinated. And if you're exposed to COVID-19 or really the virus that causes it, you don't have to quarantine anymore. So that means you don't have to miss work. Mm-hmm. That is, I think, one of the best reasons to be vaccinated yourself. And also, if you're an employer, to encourage your employees to get vaccinated.
Awesome. Amy, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming in and giving us an update. And remember, go to the county's website. That's where you can find this information. You can find the form. And you could have a pop-up clinic coming to you.
Yes, you could.
Amy, thanks for joining us again. You, thanks for listening, and we'll see you same time, same place next week on Lincoln County Connections.